Last June, Sitkin Terry Rafgar was displaying some of her weaving samples at a festival of Southeast Alaska Native culture when two passing scientists stopped dead in their tracks.
And they said, "Excuse me, but this is DNA." Yes! Yes!
The structure of DNA is called a double helix. Imagine a rope ladder that has been twisted at both ends. DNA is the most iconic shape in the world of molecular biology, but it's hardly the type of image you'd expect to see portrayed among the abstract geometric shapes and animal faces common in Tlingit art. Rafgar's unique design was inspired by genetics research involving the source of her wool, the mountain goats of Baranoff Island. Rafgar gets the wool she needs from hunters and spring hikers. This is a painstakingly slow way to collect the material for her art form. Kevin White is a researcher with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Juneau.
And Kevin called me and said, "Hey, there's this guy over in Canada that's working on mountain goat research. He's doing some DNA stuff. You got any goat?" And I'm like, "Well, you know I do. Awesome. This is totally cool." So we sent
samples. Her samples eventually found their way to Dr. Aaron Schaefer's lab at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. They joined tissue samples collected by hunters from all over North America. Because DNA is passed down from generation to generation, it holds a record of the biological past. When Schaefer looked at the story told in the goat's genes, he found it was different than the one told by historians. It was commonly thought that there were no goats on Baranoff Island until 1923. In that year, the territorial governor oversaw the relocation of 15 goats from Tracy Arm, south of Juneau. Since then, the genes of only 15 goats were duplicated, mixed, and matched with each generation. These genes should be still present in what Schaefer estimates to be over 2,000 goats on the island today. Schaefer expected these 2,000 goats to be not much more genetically diverse than the original 15. The only time diversity increases in an isolated population is when mistakes are made during DNA copying. Schaefer looked at a part of the DNA that tends to have lots of these mistakes, so it's a good place for detecting differences among individuals.
For example, this is what the FBI would use in a crime scene. Everyone has a unique sort of fingerprint. And so we can look at the fingerprints to figure out individuals, because everyone has a unique profile, and we can use those fingerprints to also figure out populations, because animals within the same population mate with one another, so they have similar fingerprints.
So Schaefer expected that the genetic fingerprints of the goats on Baranoff Island would be very similar, but in fact, they were really diverse. This diversity is good news for hunters and weavers like Rafgar.
I'm delighted in that I had become kind of an advocate. If we're going to introduce a population, don't we have a responsibility to diversify the gene pool? Because otherwise we're going to have a crash that's going to be just horrible. And it's like, I'm going to be losing all my goats. I was worried about them, and now I'm a little encouraged.
Like investors that put money in different companies to minimize their risk, Baranoff goats have a sort of diversified genetic portfolio. This means they may be better able to survive an uncertain future that could include new diseases or changes in climate. By looking at other areas of DNA, Schaefer found that most of the goats on Baranoff are not related to the ones in Tracy Arm. He's pieced together a story he says best explains how the Baranoff goats could be so diverse and so different from their supposed source population. Likely, during the last ice age 20,000 years ago, part of Baranoff Island was ice-free. This part may have been a good place for goats to live. So most of the goats on Baranoff today are probably the descendants of these Ice Age survivors. It was only relatively recently, within the last century, that the newcomers from Tracy Arm dropped in. Schaefer hopes news of the discovery will encourage hunters and citizens to continue supporting science.
By providing samples and giving us location information, which some people are a bit hesitant to do, what we've been able to do is piece together a pretty cool and controversial evolutionary story of mountain goats that has some important implications for the history of Alexander Archipelago.
Rafgar notes that the oral history of Southeast Alaska supports the idea that there were ice-free areas on Baranoff that supported life. As for how these large furry mammals could have gone unnoticed, Schaefer thinks that maybe they didn't. He's been combing through old Russian logbooks and finding mysterious references to white deer. Whether these were actually mountain goats will be hard to say for sure. He needs to find the diary from a Russian trader or sailor who clearly knew the difference between sheep, deer, and goats. Rafgar delights in the differences between her way of conveying science through Tlingit regalia and how Kevin White and other scientists are weaving their story.
And I was kind of harassing Kevin. He's got beautiful report, a PowerPoint that's wonderful with graphs and little kind of all kinds of charts and things. And he talks about the goats and all the information. And you know, this one will dance. You can see these tassels that come down, the movement it has when it dances. It holds that same information. And I've just kind of, you know, his is recorded for all time, as is mine. I'm wondering which one's going to be around 100 years from now.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ellen Chenoweth.